Welcome to the Whisper Collective podcast. I'm Inga Mewburn, a professor at the Australian National University and a creator of the Thesis Whisperer blog. The Whisper Collective is a group of network scholars who blog, post and gram. Other members of the collective are Jonathan O'Donnell, Chin Koo and Narelle Lemon. We want to be the kind of academy we want to see, inclusive, empowered, engaged and kind. We promote this through our joint project, the Whisper Collective. This podcast is part of a series I produced with Professor Paul McGee called Your Brain on Writing. The pod was put together by Christina Munoz, who was an undergraduate student at ANU and who recently graduated. She produced it as part of an internship program at the Centre for Public Awareness of Science. It was put together in the early part of 2023, but for various reasons, mostly me, it took a while to make it to air. The pod features a lengthy interview with the amazing Professor Peter Albo, author of many books on writing, but most notably, Writing Without Teachers. Christina and Paul talk about a lot of aspects of writing, but most notably about fear. I'd like to thank Christina for her professionalism and persistence in getting this to air, and to my colleague Paul McGee for joining me on this particular podcast journey. I hope you enjoy the discussion.
After years of writing essays, reports, and all kinds of assignments throughout high school and university, I still have moments where writing feels impossible. Moments where I stare at blank Word documents with dread, not knowing where to start. Or when I can't bring myself to continue writing because I have no idea what to do next. In these moments, I find myself staring at the cursor blinking on my screen, but wishing I could slide off my seat or run away instead. I know I'm not the only one who sometimes fears writing, but I didn't know that seasoned writers could relate to this too. Writer William Zinsser summed it up well in his book On Writing Well, The Classic Guide to Writing Nonfiction, when he said, "Writing is hard work. A clear sentence is no accident. Very few sentences come out right the first time or even the third time. Remember this in moments of despair. If you find that writing is hard, it's because it is hard." And even academics who have written books and essays on writing agree with this. Professor Peter Albo, Emeritus Professor of English at the University of Massachusetts, sums it up nicely in his book, Writing Without Teachers, when he says, "Almost everyone, by the time they have finished high school, comes to dislike or fear writing and to avoid it whenever possible." While it's comforting to know that I'm not alone in feeling afraid of writing, I'd rather know a strategy for overcoming this in my writing attempts. Because often, in these situations, in a desperate attempt to make progress, I resort to writing the first thing that comes to mind without thinking or stopping until I feel like I've made my point. But it turns out that this is actually a recognized writing technique called free writing, and I'm not the only one who uses free writing when I'm afraid to write. In this episode, we'll explore fear in writing and how it can be overcome with insights from Professor Albo, who has written 15 books and 131 scholarly articles on writing. Yet despite these writing accomplishments and extensive knowledge on how to write, Professor Albo has still experienced being afraid of writing firsthand. In his own words, from his book Writing Without Teachers, "I've struggled so hard to make my writing cleaner, more organized, less chaotic, struggled so hard to be less helpless and confused in the face of a blank piece of paper." In our interview, Professor Elbow discussed how fear impacts our performance. In this case, he uses the example of playing a musical instrument, but the same idea can be applied to any activity.
I'm an amateur viola player. I started late, so I'm not good like kids who started when they're little. I didn't start my viola till after college, but I started because I wanted to play string quartets, and so I've worked at it ever since then. But I've been in groups or in an orchestra sometimes where I can't play because I'm terrified. And, you know, I can't hold the bow and it just bounces around. And also, when you're trying to read music, when you're scared, your mind just shuts down. You can't even think straight. You can't tell what the next note is. So fear is so important. When you're scared, your mind just shuts down. You can't even think straight.
The same can be said when it comes to writing. We might not be performing on a stage when we write. Most of the time, we're probably just alone in front of a computer. But knowing that eventually our work will be on show and that other people will see it creates the same fear that Professor Elbow described. So it's no wonder then that when we try to write, we feel afraid and our eyes glaze over and no words come to mind. It might feel impossible to start writing at this point, but in our conversation, Professor Elbow explained how fear can be overcome through trust.
Fear is the opposite of trust. When you're trying to read music, there's these notes on the page and you're trying to read them. And if you're scared, your mind just shuts down. And if you trust, you can do it. And even so, physical things, you can trust it. People who play football or people who are good tennis players, some kind of trust. You get yourself to a place where you overcome your fear. But unfortunately, I think in the field of music, they make more fear than there should be. They're all these recitals. You take lessons from a teacher and then the teacher has a recital and it's...
Professor Elbow has suggested that the act of writing is similar to performing in a recital. Think about how, in a recital, the musician is on a stage and their skills are on show. Their brilliance and any mistakes they might make are on display for the audience to see. Writing is similar. When we put words on the page, we put our writing skills on display. And if our writing skills can be seen by others, then they can be criticized or judged, which is intimidating. But this is something we have to deal with if we want to experience success.
Fear is so crippling. I mean, I have been amazingly successful. I can't believe it. But I've been haunted by fear a lot of the time. And then somehow I'm just hungry to go out and do things. But it's often having to overcome fear.
Now that we've had a look at what it feels like to be afraid, what does it feel like to overcome fear?
I guess the opposite of fear is somebody who trusts you. Somebody, you know, it's what a mommy says to a kid, it's going to be all right. But if we go through life, it's hard to believe sometimes that it's going to be all right.
Sometimes it really can be hard to trust that it'll be all right. Sometimes it's just easier to trust if we don't overthink it. Let our skills take over and speak for themselves without entertaining the possibility that things could go wrong. And this is exactly how free writing comes into play. But first, what is free writing?
So free writing, I have a totally pragmatic physical answer. Free writing just means writing without stopping. And the typical way to use it as an exercise is to set the clock for 10 minutes and keep free writing. The point about free writing is that with writing, we're so accustomed to stopping and choosing our words and saying, oh, what word should I use? I don't know. And am I using a grammatical sentence? And the point about free writing is if you can't stop, you don't have time to think. So the words have to come out without thinking, without planning. So the point of free writing is to learn to use language without planning. The process is very simple, no stopping, but the goal is, in a sense, more internal, which is to learn to invite words to come out unplanned. So if you can't plan your words, for one thing, you often get to the unconscious. You get to thoughts that you didn't have. Whenever I lead a class in free writing, at the end of 10 minutes, I said, did anybody find themselves writing something they had no idea that they were going to write? And almost everybody says that. So it leads you to not only words that are unplanned, but thoughts that are unplanned, and often to thoughts that you hadn't had before. It's like your mind is more naked. By not stopping, you come across things.
And these things aren't just random gibberish. Often, what you come across when free writing is exactly what you were trying to say all along. It might need a little refining, but after writing without stopping and letting your mind flow, what you want to say will be on the page. And it's okay if you don't know what you want to say or where to start, because discovering what you really want to say is the whole point. Actually, we do this all the time when speaking. In Professor Elbow's book, Vernacular Eloquence, he describes how free writing taps into our ability to speak, which we can do easily without planning. Just think about a time when you got fired up, maybe in an argument or a conversation, and without thinking, you delivered a powerful line that was true and perfectly worded, and left your audience in an impressed silence. You didn't have to think through every word or plan anything, because you were wired to speak fluently, easily. And this fluency and ease is what free writing taps into, and why it works. At the same time, free writing's ability to tap into our ability to speak makes it a great way to teach writing. In our interview, Professor Elbow proceeds to describe a template for teaching that features free writing and an awareness of the audience who will see each piece of writing. The main idea is to start with an audience that can be trusted to withhold criticism and judgment, and slowly change the audience to work up to writing for an audience that the writer would normally fear. While the progression is described as a way for teachers to help their students write, the ideas are just as helpful for writers without teachers.
And so there's a progression that's, to me, very important that becomes a kind of a template for teaching. First, there's no audience. I guess the minus audience would be just thinking in your head. But if we just write free writing and we don't show it, and because we didn't get around to saying this, but I hate when people use free writing and they only mean write without stopping, but they want the students to turn it into the teacher. That's not free writing. It's not safe. It's only safe when you write and nobody's going to see it. Then it becomes a little bit less safe if you free write and you let somebody see it, but they're not allowed to say anything. And then it becomes a little less safe if you let them see it and you let them point to some good bits, but no bad bits. And then the fourth stage, they see it and they point to good bits. I mean, it's not private anymore, but you give it to an audience, the audience can show you the good bits. And then the fourth stage, they can point to some parts that don't work very well. That's a progression that I feel we should work our students through. We have to make it the most safe in the beginning for them to write. Write, and then share it with somebody, but no feedback. And then share it with somebody and they get feedback, but no criticism. And then finally you share it with somebody and then you get feedback and then it involves criticism. And I think we need to, by hook or by crook, give students the experience of, like if you want students to jump off a 20-foot diving board into a pool, it is so terrifying. But if you can just start by having them just dive off the edge of the pool and then you work up to what's more scary. So that progression involves audience. The audience is the scary part.
When we write, we're always aware that someone else will read our writing. If it's an email, someone will receive it. If it's an assignment, someone's going to mark it. And if it's a blog post, journal article, or short story, we always have an imagined audience in our minds that we're writing for. And just the thought of it being seen by our imagined audience can make us hesitate and freeze a little. Because if someone can see our writing, they can form an opinion on it, which is scary, because then there's the possibility that they won't like it. They might criticize or judge it. Their criticism might even be right. The point is, being in a situation where our work can be criticized doesn't feel safe. It gets harder to trust that things will be all right because there are more chances for things to go wrong. And that's why audiences can make us fear writing. In his template for teaching, Professor Elbow suggests that a way to overcome this is through changing the imagined audience for the piece of writing, so that the writer starts in a safe environment where their work won't be judged, and they can improve their writing and build their confidence to work their way up to writing for the final audience, who may judge and criticize their writing. This process is also helpful for writers who don't have teachers to guide them, because the progression of audiences fits into the process of writing drafts. For example, when I write a first draft, I know that no one aside from myself will ever see it. So I don't have to worry about it being criticized, and it feels safe to throw all my ideas onto the page. And just like that, I have avoided staring at a blank Word document being paralyzed by fear. After the first draft, there will be more drafts, where the writing will slowly improve, and I might show them to someone else for brief feedback, where I can find out what the best and worst parts are, without receiving too much judgment or criticism. And all this is preparation for creating the final piece of writing that will be shared, released out into the world where it can be judged and criticized at will by anyone. But at this point, I can face the thought of my writing being judged or criticized, because I have gone through the progression. My writing is ready for it, and so am I. Now that we've explored how audiences can make us feel afraid when we write, and how to overcome this, what about the opposite? Can audiences make writers feel confident?
If the audience likes you and likes your writing, then you want to write for them. It's the opposite of fear. It's like you say, oh, goody, I get to write for this person who wants to see my thinking. So that's why if a teacher can project the feeling that I like you as a student and I want to know what's on your mind and I find it interesting to read your thoughts, what a gift that is. It's amazing how different it is when a teacher likes a student. And it goes better. The students that a teacher likes do better. And in order to become a good teacher, we have to learn how to like our students. If we can practice learning how to like students, then we're going to teach better and they're going to write better.
Think about how good it feels to talk to someone who really cares about what you have to say. In the same way, it's easier to write when your audience cares about what you have to say. In this example, Professor Elbow described how a teacher liking their student can help them write better. And the same can be said for any audience that likes the writer. Because it comes back to trusting the audience, that they won't criticize your writing and tear it to shreds. And when the audience cares about what you have to say, it's easier to trust that they won't. But even if our audience loves us, and we accept that no one else will ever see our first draft. Even then, we can still feel stuck and unable to write a single word. Or we write sentences, but pick them apart, then delete them, and end up right where we started, staring at the blinking cursor of the Word document, afraid. Because within all of us, there is an inner critic who judges and criticizes our own writing as soon as it's on the page. It can be hard to get past this, but it too can be overcome in the ways we have discussed before. We need to find a sense of safety and trust that it will be all right. And this can be done through free writing. Because as Professor Elbows says,
with writing, we're so accustomed to stopping and choosing our words and saying, oh, what words should I use? I don't know. And is this am I using a grammatical sentence? And the point about free writing is if you can't stop, you don't have time to think.
Which means you don't have time to judge your own writing. So it's safe and you can trust things will turn out all right.
So the words have to come out without thinking, without planning. So the point of free writing is to learn to use language without planning. The process is very simple, no stopping, but the goal is, in a sense, more internal, which is to learn to invite words to come out unplanned.
And when we let words come out unplanned, the blank page is no longer scary, and we might surprise ourselves by what we were really thinking of all along.